Well, good morning, Peninsula Hope Church. I hope you guys are continuing to do well. It's so funny, each week as we are bringing you more sermons online, I always have to get myself prepared and prepare for any outtakes and that. But let me just open us up in some prayer to get us going this week. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. Lord, I pray for those, Lord, who are going through just seasons of challenge. Lord, we lift up those fighting fires, Lord, those with coronavirus, Lord, those with losing their jobs. There's so many things going on, Lord, but in it, we know that you are there. It's something that's true. It's something that we can trust in, Lord. Holy Spirit, speak to me and through me as we bring your word today. We pray this in your name. Amen. Have you ever thought about talking to little kids and how awesome that is? I know for myself, whenever I get around children, it's so great to talk to them and to ask them questions. And I think the biggest reason is they give the most honest answers because they haven't been impacted by the world the way adults have. I think if you would ask a young person, well, a child, what the truth is, they'd probably say it's the opposite of a lie. And that is such an incredible answer because it's so simple and clear. And it differs so greatly from what most adults would say. If you would ask an adult or even 10 adults what the truth is, you'd get 10 different answers. And because we live in such a skeptical world, you'd hear answers like, I don't know if truth exists, or truth, it just depends on your perspective, or there are degrees of truth. And for Christians or non-Christians alike who are seeking some truth in their life, this can be so discouraging and frustrating. So today I'm excited that we're starting a new series called Biblical Truths. And my hope is that each week as we discuss another truth about God, it brings you comfort in something you can believe and trust in regardless of what the world says. In John 14:6 in the NIV, Jesus answered saying, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is so powerful and it's so central to our faith as Christians. But what exactly is the truth? When you look at a dictionary definition, there's a couple things dictionaries will say. You may see it say the truth or actual state of a matter, conformity with fact or reality, a verified or indisputable fact, proposition, principle, or the like, a state or character of being true, actuality or actual existence. So there's a lot of different definitions of what the truth is. But what exactly is biblical truth? I saw this great definition. One author put it this way. He said, it is that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. Even more to the point, it is a self-expression of God. So if you're a follower of Christ and you believe in Jesus' words, you believe in the Bible, biblical truths are the foundations of our faith. They are the realities that you can counter regardless of what the world says and regardless of your situation and circumstances. But what do biblical truths tell us? Well, biblical truths, they reveal who God is. If you've ever wondered who he is, what he's about, that's one of the things that biblical truths reveal. Biblical truths also reveal God's nature and his character. And we'll talk about why that's important a little later on. And we also find out about his powers and his abilities. Let me give you 6 very specific truths, and these are the truths that we're going to be covering over the next 6 weeks. Each week we'll take one of these and expand on it and talk about it in greater detail. So the first one comes from 1 John 4:8 in the NIV, and it says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And that is the central essence of God. It's love. That's why Jesus died for us, because he loved us, that he died for our sins. So that's the very first truth. The second truth, We see this in Colossians 1, verses 16 through 17 in the NIV. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So God is sovereign. Or in other words, he is in control of absolutely everything. Third truth, 2 Thessalonians 3:3 in the NIV says, "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one." So God is faithful. We can count on him. He will be there when we need him. Fourth truth, Psalms 5, verse 4 in the NASB. "For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you." God hates sin. And that's why Jesus died. He died for our sins. He became the sin of the world. He became that which God hates. And that's a powerful truth, because all of us sin. We have to understand why we have to repent, why we have to acknowledge that all of us are sinners. Fifth truth comes from Isaiah 30, verse 18, the NIV. It says, "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him." God is just. And this is such an important truth, because especially in the world we're living in now, with all the things that are happening, people wonder, is God just? Why are things happening? So it's important to remember that truth. And that's why we're going to be walking through it in greater detail in the weeks to come. And then the final truth we're going to cover comes from 1 John 1, verse 9, the NIV. It says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." God is forgiving. He forgave our sins. And even when we make mistakes, he will forgive us if we repent, if we ask for his forgiveness. Now, here's why it's important to know these biblical truths about God. I first want to talk about it from a very human perspective, that knowing these biblical truths about God, it helps people decide if they're going to believe in him. Think about a new believer coming to church. They want to hear about this God person. They want to hear about Jesus. But they need to know more about him so they can decide if they even want to believe in him or not. Second, it helps to develop trust. If we know these characteristics and nature of God, we can decide if we trust him. It helps people decide if God will actually be there when we need him. This is what we see, or this is what we learn, the importance of knowing biblical truths. It helps to strengthen respect for God. And then finally, it promotes loyalty to God, or obedience to God and his ways. I was thinking of an illustration, and I was reminded of a court setting. And if you have been to court, or you have watched some court proceedings on TV, whether they're real or fake, you'll see that attorneys, they often bring in character witnesses. And they do this because they want to establish if someone is credible, if they are telling the truth, or if they can be trusted. We also see this in the hiring process. For those of you that maybe are the employer that does interviews, or most of us have all been through some kind of interview process, we're asked to give references because our potential employer wants to hear about our character, and they want to know if we can be relied upon or if we can be trusted to do our job. The Bible is kind of like a character witness. It is God's character witness to who he is and how he is, his nature, his abilities. The Bible is a reference for God. And here's the thing, as we look at the Bible, we see that his track record is perfect. Spiritually, knowing truths about God, so this is a little bit different than just that human perspective. So this is really for believers, It's important to know these truths because God is the center of our faith. Hebrews 12 verses 1 through 2 in the NASB says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witness surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Pay attention to this part. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the author and the perfecter. He is the center of our faith. So our Christianity, our faith in God and Jesus is centered on God and on Jesus because our belief started with him and his sacrifice for us. And he is the perfecter of our faith because he is the one who guides us and directs us on our spiritual journey. So God, Jesus, we serve a triune God, three in one. That person, that being, that is the center of our faith. Second, salvation is only possible through God and his grace. Ephesians 2 verses 8 through 9 in the NIV says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So even though none of us is deserving of it, because of God's grace and his love for us, he made the unbelievable gifts of forgiveness of sins, salvation, and eternal life available to everyone who believes in him. This is an important reminder because as I mentioned earlier in John 14:6, the only way to Father God is through Jesus the Son, through belief in him. That means no other religions, no other activities, nothing we can do will lead to salvation and eternal life in heaven except for belief in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And that's what points us to God. That's what rebuilds our relationship with him. Next, it helps us with discernment and better understanding of God's will. This is another way that we benefit as believers from knowing these biblical truths. 1 John 4 verses 1 through 3 in the NIV says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world." When you know the truths about God's character and nature, you are better able to recognize his presence or his non-presence in a situation. Let me give you an example. If you have a situation that comes up, and this can be really anything you can imagine, and you're trying to deal with it as a mature Christian, but maybe spiritual discernment isn't your gift, or maybe it's not the strongest area, you know, as far as your Christian faith goes. And maybe you don't exactly have any clue or any idea what God's will is in a particular situation. Look to the truths of the Bible to help you navigate that situation. Maybe the situation that you're dealing with requires that you lie and that you knowingly or willingly hurt someone. Look to the Bible and see if lying and intentionally hurting people are traits of God. Since they aren't traits of God, it's pretty likely that the situation that you're dealing with, that you're going through, if you deal with it in that manner where you lie, that's probably not God's will. So avoiding that would be very discerning. So hopefully that made sense to you, but that's how knowing biblical truths, that's how knowing characteristics of God and his nature can help us with spiritual discernment and knowing God's will. I want to close with this one. It's the last one, but really I think it's a great way to conclude this sermon, the intro to our series. Since we are made in the image of God, it gives us a blueprint for how we should live our lives. 1 John 2, verses 5 through 6 in the NLT says this, "But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did." I want to repeat verse 6 again. I think it's so powerful. It says, those who say they live in God, in other words, those that say they're Christians, should live their lives the way Jesus did. We are made in the image of God, but we are not perfect copies of God. In Genesis, we see that we are made in his likeness. This means that we possess some of the characteristics of God. We don't possess his powers. We create some of his nature or his characteristics, his character. Things like love, forgiveness, and grace. These are some of the characteristics of God that we also possess being made in his image. By knowing biblical truths, the biblical truths that we are going to be covering over the next 6 weeks, all of us as Christians are better able to understand how we should be living as Christians. So I want to encourage you to pay attention to the sermons over the next 6 weeks. And I hope you're able to look at them and identify with them. Some of them are not going to be traits that we can possess, but some of them are. And I hope that you find encouragement, and I hope that you find guidance on how we can live better as men and women of God. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. Lord, we love you for your character, for your love, for your forgiveness, for your grace and mercy. Lord Jesus, over the next 6 weeks, Lord, I pray that we will grow closer to you in our love, in our appreciation. Lord, I pray that you will help us, Lord, to be more like you. Lord, help us to live our lives the way you did. Lord, I pray for anyone out there, Lord, that doesn't know you. I pray that over the next 6 weeks, Lord, that they would hear, Lord, the testimony about you. They would hear the character references about you and how incredible you are. And it would speak to their hearts and they would come to know you. Lord, we pray this all in your name. Amen. Hey guys, we love you. We hope to see you next week. We'll see you soon. God bless.